Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin. You're listening to the Max Living Podcast. We're talking about inflammation this week, and this is just such a huge topic right now. I think when we hear the word inflammation, most of the time we have we have this innate response to it that we think, oh, wow, inflammation, that's a negative thing.
Right.
And I think it's because we're hearing so much about it, like Time Magazine did articles on, you know, inflammation, the silent killer, and Discover Magazine has written articles on it. Right now, Vanderbilt and Harvard are doing studies on inflammation. They're trying to figure out, you know, what is it? Is it good? Is it bad? What's happening? And there are absolutely reasons that our body does this thing called inflammation. And we want to talk about what is it? When is it good? How does it get out of control? And ultimately, what are the effects of it? And how do we make sure that we're, you know, utilizing this beautiful thing that our body does in the right way, but right, not letting it get out of control?
Absolutely. And I think that this is one of the things one of the benefits of being a patient in a Max Living office is walking you through these pieces of education to understand how your body works so that you're not fearful of it. You're not afraid. You don't hear the word inflammation and immediately feel like, you know, you have a disaster happening in your health, to understand how to work within the systems of your body. Because if you're working in those systems of your body, you're going to live a long and really healthy life and do well for yourself and not end up in the places that you don't want to be, where you're immobile, where you can't take care of yourself, where you're in a nursing home, you know, having somebody else having to take care of you on a day-to-day basis. You're going to live a long, healthy, vibrant life. And that's the goal, right? Is that we're not living to 90 incapacitated. We're living to 80, 90, 100 and full of vibrant and life and health.
Yeah, I think it's such a great concept, because I think in medicine, we get to this place where, you know, we look at everything through the lens of good or bad. It's like everything that's on earth that was created, you know, was created for a purpose.
Right.
Now, there are things that maybe man has created where, you know, we really have to ask ourselves, were we better off without that existing? But things like sugar, for instance, you know, we talk about sugar and it's like, oh, sugar bad. Well, sugar actually has a role.
Right.
Like glucose has a role in your body, that it is a source of energy. It's just that when it gets out of control, you know, when it gets out of control, when we're consuming way more than what nature would ever provide, then this can be problematic. And so inflammation is very similar. Like inflammation has a very positive role. In fact, we're going to go through six of them, you know, just some basic examples. But there's a very positive role that inflammation has within our body. So number one, we got to figure out, like, what is inflammation? Here's very simply, I'm going to break it down for you. Anytime any tissue in your body gets injured, it signals your immune system. There are chemicals that are released when tissue is injured. So that could be a sunburn, that could be a cut, that could be a broken bone or a sprained ankle. That could be a lot of things. You know, tissue getting injured could be things that we're doing with our own diet. It could be a foreign pathogen, like a virus. But when tissue gets injured, it releases chemicals. Those chemicals signal your immune system. Your immune system then sends specialized cells to the area, and those cells start breaking down the tissue and trying to get rid of and really eating up the pathogen if it's a virus, or going to work repairing. And the way that your body mobilizes this is usually through blood.
Right.
And also one of the things that accompanies inflammation typically is heat.
Yes.
And the reason heat accompanies it is because it's a natural response from our body to try to protect the cells in the area. And bacteria and viruses and some of these foreign pathogens don't do really well with temperature increases. And so our body sends specialized cells, raises the heat, increases blood flow, brings white blood cells to the area. And this whole response, inflammation, means things swell up, they get warm, and it's this whole protective mechanism that our body has. And it's actually a really, 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 really good thing.
Yeah.
Even in an injury, sometimes your body is trying to tell you, like, if it's protecting and padding an area with extra fluid and pain increases because of swelling and everything, sometimes your body is trying to tell you, like, hey, you know, you just injured this area, don't behave the same way you're behaving. Like, we need to give this some rest and let You know, I'm on the job and Nate's on the job. Let me do my work. You chill out for a little bit.
Right, right. Similar, almost a parallel to conversations we've had about cholesterol before. And we don't even want to go down that path right now, but it's a very similar thing, right? This reputation that inflammation is building right now in the 2020s. And, you know, even, you know, for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I'd say is that we have, it has this connotation, right, of this horrible thing. And I think it's just because of the horrible thing is really the lifestyle choices that we've found ourselves at right now in this time and place in our lives and in where we are right now on earth, right? Just right now in America, how we eat, how we live, what our lifestyle looks like, it's caused this very inflammatory response, you'd say, right? And so there's this inflammatory response that our body is having, and it's really a beautiful thing, right? That system of inflammation is beautiful, much like how cholesterol, you know, can get ugly and can get out of control, but really is a beautiful thing.
What's happening over there? We're trying to record this podcast and things are dropping and falling, and it's pretty funny, but I think that's what happens when you're on a roll. You know, like there's something going on here where I think energetically Ashley's just emitting a frequency that's a little different. No, this is good. I like this, that, you know, the idea, like even with cholesterol actually is a response to inflammation. Like cholesterol is a response to the inflammatory process, and cholesterol is actually trying to put out the fire, chronic inflammation. But let's talk about some examples of good inflammation. When does inflammation actually benefit us before we start talking about, you know, inflammation that gets out of control?
Right. So first example, had this last summer, bee sting, right? Listen, you get stung by a bee, there's pain, there's immediate swelling, there's inflammation. It's like the example that they're giving is like a trumpet calling for battle, right? It's telling your immune system. Thank you for those sound effects. It's like that there's something that's going on here that needs to be taken care of, right? And there's swelling and encapsulates. There's swelling that encapsulates and protects the area. There's fluid that rushes to that bee site, and it works to dilute and break down the toxins from that sting. And that's immediately the first thing that happens, right? That inflammation that happens when you have a bee sting. I had a hand that was swollen. The funny thing is that really, like, they said it was going to be a couple weeks of swelling. I had, you know, 5 or 6 days of it, and then it calmed down and it was back to normal. But that's a great example of when you want inflammation in your body. Another example, when you sprain your ankle, did it all the time when I played volleyball in high school. Swelling happens quickly after you injure that ankle. And it's kind of like a little bit of a cast, of like a man-made cast, right?
It's tight.
Right. It gets tight.
It's full fluid.
Your body is saying, stop. Do not move, do not use, do not pass go, do not collect $200, right? It's preventing any further injury because it's painful and it doesn't want you to do anything more to that injured area to aggravate it. So even for a severe sprain, that swelling is going to go down in about 7 days, but it's there initially to really help you stop, immobilize, and take care of what's going on.
Yeah, this next one's one of my favorite ones. We get asked this a lot of times in the clinic is, about fevers, that fevers are actually one of the beneficial parts of inflammation.
Right.
You know, with fevers, a lot of times come what they call malaise, where you're tired, you know, just muscles are like fatigued. Delirium, sometimes feel a little foggy headed and body aches. So those things aren't pleasant, but the fever itself is a form of whole body inflammation. It really serves a purpose. Your body's trying to elevate its temperature. It's a byproduct of those chemicals. Like we were talking about, you're signaling. Right. So these interleukins are the chemicals involved in a fever. And these chemicals are secreted by white blood cells that like to fight and get rid of like bacteria, viruses, things in the body. Temperatures have to get up to 102, 103, even 104 to kill these foreign, you know, things in our body, these viruses and that bacteria, because those things like to live at normal body temperatures. So it's still like going into a sauna, you know, in the summer when temperatures are higher, it's harder for us to get sick. Why? Because these things don't thrive at these higher temperatures. So our body cranks up its internal temperature to get the invaders, you know, uncomfortable and really to kill those foreign, you know, cells, and then brings that temperature back down into regulation. So fever, generally speaking, is virtually almost always a good thing. And that's why one of the things we don't want to do is reduce a fever when possible. All right. So here's another one. This is a very obvious positive benefit to inflammation is you just did a workout. What happens when you do a workout? right? What's the old saying? No pain, no gain.
Right, right.
So when we work out, a lot of times you feel some muscle tenderness. They call it DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. If you go to the gym, you do things right, that soreness is going to stem from a total natural, healthy amount of muscle damage that you do. So you go in, you're like lifting weights, that resistance creates some minor tearing in the muscles.
Right.
And that's how muscles get stronger and build back bigger.
Right.
And so the soreness stems from that process. And so then there's inflammation that is actually there. Remember, when does inflammation happen? When cells are getting damaged.
Right.
So you're doing low level damage to the muscle tissue by lifting something and creating some resistance. And that low level muscle damage sends out a signal and it triggers those immune cells to come to the area, and it actually speeds up the repair to the damaged cells. So your immune system is there through the process of inflammation to help speed up the process by which your muscles repair after a workout. So this is another great example of how inflammation is actually a great thing.
You know, it's really interesting. I'm listening while you're saying this, I'm a little bit in awe of just how amazing the body is, right? And it takes me back to a couple episodes. And if you haven't heard this one, episode 70, it's called How to Trust Your Body. It's a wonderful episode. Go back in the podcast and listen to that, because there's an amazing amount of things that happen inside of our body, right? Like every second of every day. And we talked in this episode, we touched on a lot of what those things are, and really like leaning into having this faith and trust in the thing that God designed and built you as, right? Like we touched on that in this episode, but really when you're talking about this inflammatory response, it's bringing me right back to that episode and just thinking about like how in awe I am of the response that the body has and what a beautiful thing that it does. Here's the next one. Next one we want to talk about: when you cut yourself shaving, right? Everybody's experienced this one, that you're in the middle of shaving, you have even a small cut, your body boosts this blood flow to the area to jumpstart that healing process. And with it, your blood brings pro-inflammatory chemicals that help repair the wound and initiate that blood clotting, right? And that is an inflammatory response of the body.
Yeah, that's where the redness, the swelling you see around the area, that's visually, that's what inflammation is.
Right.
So your cut is going to get better in a few days, but why? Because that redness, that swelling, that's the increased blood flow. Like your body's sending everything that cut needs to repair. So you have your, fibrinogen, which is a chemical that causes like the stitching back of the wound, the platelets, which right. are actually doing the threading of that. The redness, is helping to protect the area. And sometimes it even increases in temperature. Your body's trying to make sure that now that you nicked your leg
right.
and your bloodstream is now open to the environment, it wants to protect it and make sure that there's no pathogens, bacteria or whatever that get into that cut that start, getting into your body. So.
Right. Last one. You eat, you're exposed to something that isn't good, that's rotten, right? Whether it's bacteria, a virus, a toxin, a lot of times it's something that you eat, that you've consumed. There's a protective inflammatory response that your body will spring into action when it runs into something like a bacteria, virus, toxin, or something that's rotten that you've consumed or encountered.
Yeah. So we talked about all the pros to inflammation and all these things like a cut or a bug bite or a sprained ankle. But sometimes the injury is something you don't even know that's happening. Sometimes there's, again, a pathogen or something rotten that's got in your body. You eat bad fish or something like that. Your body's still going on to protect you, even though the injury may not have seemed like an injury. So these are all the positive effects. These are the positive effects of inflammation.
Right.
So when we hear about inflammation, sometimes we hear about it in a negative connotation. What's that all about? Well, that's when it gets out of control.
Right.
So inflammation is a good thing. But inflammation is going to respond to any insult on our body. And sometimes we choose to do things that are constantly insulting our body.
Right.
So one of those, a very simple one, is our nutrition.
Right.
That, we sometimes choose to eat things that don't align with the way God created us and health. And so our food sometimes, or what we call food, can be a constant irritation and a constant damage to our bodies. How does that happen? Too much sugar.
Right.
Too much sugar creates damage in the body that ends up resulting in lots of inflammation. Bad fats. Some of these fats like canola oil and hydrogenated oils, they immediately trigger an immune response because they're not meant to be in your body. They're not even natural.
Right.
And so your body recognizes them doing damage when they get into your body, and then all of a sudden it triggers this inflammation.
Right.
One of the things we know is that there's certain conditions, even like obesity. So this is a crazy one. This I was reading on this morning, and I just want to share this with you guys. This is crazy because they call inflammation, when we talk about chronic inflammation, particularly when it comes to obesity and type 2 diabetes, which are completely manageable. You know, I understand it may not be easy, but obesity and type 2 diabetes are pretty much controlled by what we put over our tongue and into our mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we have control over this. The one thing that connects these two things really is inflammation. Normally, the inflammatory first responders are white blood cells. One of these white blood cells is called a macrophage. What these do is these produce a wave of chemicals called cytokines. Some of you guys remember cytokines because cytokines were the cell that was producing all the inflammation in COVID in the lungs. Remember, we were talking about the cytokine storm.
Right.
Cytokines are there to kill germs and sound the alarm for other inflammatory cells. But here's what happens when these fat cells produce cytokines, because they can. And as fat tissue grows, they produce more cytokines. So they're sending out these signals to attract inflammation, particularly these macrophages, which come in to eat up all the decaying, you know, tissue. The burden of obesity actually starts, our sheer weight actually starts crushing fat cells to death.
Wow.
And when we crush these fat cells to death, that makes the problem worse because these inflammatory cells send out signals to other cells. These other cells come in to clean up the debris. When they clean up the debris, they're damaging the tissue by eating it up. So the tissue sends out what? More inflammatory signals. And creates this chronic inflammation in the body.
Right.
So obesity, just in and of itself, being overweight, puts you in a state of chronic inflammation.
Wow.
Here's another one. Another one is, you know, the actions of insulin, that inflammation actually antagonizes insulin. Insulin is the hormone that stimulates our muscle and our liver to absorb glucose, which is sugar in our bloodstream. So we know that too much sugar in our bloodstream is not good for us, that it creates inflammation within the blood vessels. Our blood vessels can become damaged. But insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes in turn increase the risk of heart disease because what happens is the acts of insulin get antagonized by this inflammatory process. Vanderbilt research, they've been working on, you know, trying to figure out how can we leverage inflammation and use it for the good. But it's such an outside in approach to the body. It's like, oh, we're going to control inflammation. Right. God created this process in our bodies and it's there to save us. And we are living our lifestyles in such a way that inflammation is just wreaking havoc on our bodies. So we're going to figure out how we can keep our lifestyles, but control inflammation. And it's just never going to work that way.
Right.
It's always got to be an inside out approach.
Right. And this is what we talked about a lot, is that there is no biological free lunch, right? So if somebody is if there's a coach or a teacher that's out there trying to tell you like, hey, just take this pill, just, you know, grab this, like whatever, rub, cream, treatment, oil, whatever it is, and you can bypass the natural system of the body and it's going to help you alleviate that and you can still do whatever you want and you're going to get this other result on the end. That's just simply not the case.
Here's a great, you know, if we get, so inflammation, chronic inflammation that causes heart disease, diabetes, or better yet, should I say, accompanies heart disease, diabetes, cancer. It's part of how your body's trying to protect itself. But when it gets out of control, we get stuck in this cycle where this inflammation is now out of control because we've created an unhealthy environment. Now they're calling it the disease of the Westerners.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know, like a disease for people who are affluent.
Right.
Why? Because in most countries, they don't have the option of eating lots of junk food.
Right.
They don't have the option of eating lots of sugary foods. So,
which is so interesting, right? Because we hear patients sometimes saying eating healthy is too expensive. And that's just such a backwards mindset, right? Of the whole thing. And the reality is
vegetables are inexpensive.
Right.
Vegetables are inexpensive and you know, drinking water and not Diet Pepsi is inexpensive.
Right.
And so that's just a lie we tell ourselves and it's just simply not true. You know, this information came out of the American Journal of Human Biology. They had a study where they went into the Amazon. There's a population called the shower, S-H-U-A-R, shower communities. And they went into these lowlands of the Amazon and Ecuador and they found that some of these adults had high levels of CRP, which is, one of the markers that we test for inflammatory responses, but not a single one of them tested above the benchmark for chronic inflammation. So they had inflammation, but it was never elevated, you know, chronically. And what they showed is that these elevated CRP levels go up when we need it, but in most people, it's undetectable when we don't need it. And so infection resolves and it completely goes away. So these people had inflammation, but they didn't have chronic inflammation. Right. They showed this hypothesis predicted that children who are exposed to microbes such as farms, for example, they're less likely to develop allergies later in life. And so these rural shower people, they saw inflammation, but they said this study suggested that exposure to microbes early in life helped fine tune the immune system so it can regulate responses later in life. So again, it was showing that this inflammation was a great thing. But what did these people not have? Their diets are pretty much natural diets, and they're not consuming tons of processed foods and sugar and all this. So these inflammatory markers are in control, not out of control. So this study, what this should show us is that inflammation is a good thing.
Right.
It's not that inflammation is the enemy. It's that our lifestyles have become such that we are chronically inflamed.
Right.
Sugar and alcohol and bad fats and, you know, just not moving enough.
Right.
And that if we can get these things under control, that we can create a very, very, very healthy environment that our body's inflammatory responses become more appropriate. And we are going to be a lot healthier because of that. So, you know, the reason we're talking about this is we have an upcoming inflammation workshop. We're going to go through what are the best things you can be doing to control inflammation today?
Right.
What are the top things you're doing that are actually increasing some of the inflammatory response to make it so that it's not being regulated properly?
Yes.
And then why is a max living lifestyle one of the best things you could possibly be doing?
Right. Absolutely. So go to maxliving.com/locations, find a Max Living office near you, reach out to them. They're going to be hosting this inflammation workshop in their office in a town near you. Go attend it, find that information that's really going to change your life, because these workshops are how across the country, we are seeing thousands of lives change. And people are in our office. I know we have seen off medications, weight loss, significant 20, 30, 40 pounds of weight loss. We've seen these lives change, and it's happening all across the country. And that's how you can have that happen for you too.
That's awesome. This has been another episode of the Max Living Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Max Living Podcast. Take responsibility for your health today by finding a Max Living doctor near you at maxliving.com/locations.